Welcome to Protecting the Legacy, a show sponsored by the Boutique Cigar Association. Grab a cigar and your favorite beverage and join us for the next hour as we tackle some of the most difficult topics in our industry. Now, please join your hosts, Kerr Viajante, Armin Kaprelian, and Dr. Gabby Caffey as we dive into this week's hot topics.
Hola, everybody. This is Kerr Viajante, and I am here with Armin from DAV Cigars, my man. I see Dr. Gabby Caffey over there from Caffey 1901 Brands, and we are protecting the leaf. How are you guys doing this today?
I'm not even in my body yet. I don't know whose idea it was to do this podcast this early in the morning. I think I need some more coffee. How about you guys?
Well, I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is you went to bed last night instead of staying up drinking all freaking night, getting ready for the show.
Is that why you're so energized right now? So I have to be on a strict regimen of cigars and alcohol. Got it.
Fantastic. I'm doing great.
I can't keep up with that energy or that lifestyle, Doc. But I did go out last night, and I did go meet my good friend Daryl Iverson. He does a cigar reviews, lit premium cigar experience. And we were down in Anderson at a newer cigar shop. And I had some 12-year-old McCallum.
Nice.
And I smoked a Stogie Road cigar. I smoked one of the additional 35s. Oh, they have a nice little lounge area. And this guy's really transforming this bar and restaurant and transforming it into a cigar bar and restaurant.
Nice.
I'm helping him out with doing the build, you know, kind of building the humidor. But that was all I did. I was not up drinking all night like Gabby preparing for the show.
I was up late.
Well, you say this, but right now I'm pretty sure you're the only one in your own home wearing sunglasses at 9:36 in the morning.
That's because my future's so bright I got to wear shades, Armin.
Oh, no. Very well done. Very well done.
Listen. You go to college for 12 years. Tell me if you don't master drinking.
That is true. Okay. You know what? Okay. I went to school for 12 years and I don't have a. I'm not a doctor.
Listen, Tommy boy.
All I got was an associate's after 12 years.
8 years of college down the drain. That's right. Right? 8 years
Tommy
for,
boy.
8 years for 72 credits.
Yes. So good morning, everyone. Yes, so is exactly it. How's everybody doing?
Breathe
doing
out.
Great.
Yeah, it was a tough week, long week, but you know, glad to be sitting with you, fine men, this morning.
Fantastic.
On a weekend. Tackling some of the topics of what's going on today in the world.
There is so much going on. Where do we start? I mean, do we talk about politics? Do we talk about premium cigars? What do you want to talk about today? Do you want to talk about Las Vegas? Do you guys want to talk about...
Yeah, well, there was the TPE, I think, hot on... That's a hot topic.
Answer to all that is yes, Gabby. Yes.
All right, let's tackle one.
But you know what's funny about that is, you know, I hop on, like, Yahoo, and I just on my phone I'll just scroll to see what the top news articles are, and it's usually Trump really sucks, and then they'll marble in something, and you're right, a lot's been going on because the Trump sucks headlines have been buried like third or fourth. So when that impeachment and everything else is buried third, I'm scrolling through that, it tells me there's a lot going on. So what do you think, Armin? You do the roulette. What do you want to talk about?
You know what? Why don't we start with the TPE, because I've been looking online. I've been seeing some of the recaps, some of the comments, the photos, and I have a good buddy who lives out in Vegas, and he decided to go for a day and check it out and so forth.
Listen, I'm sorry to say this, Armin. You say you have a good buddy that lives in Las Vegas. You got one of the best and baddest retailers out there in Las Vegas stomping ground. That guy is the heartbeat of the cigar industry in Vegas. So if anyone knows what's going on, it's you and your friend.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear what you guys think. I've got my opinion.
I don't know. I think we were talking about this a little bit before going live. That, you know, there was a big hype about it, but it seemed like as far as the premium cigars go, not a big presence. It was mostly vapes and that sort of thing, CBD, so on and so forth. I mean, I know some of the big guys were there, yes, like Alec Bradley, Villiger, Espinoza. I believe I even saw, if I'm not mistaken, a photo of legendary NBA player Karl Malone, who I have seen the past couple of years at IPCPR, Plasencia, my father's cigar. But, you know, I kept looking, but those were probably the only people that I found in the premium cigar industry. Yeah. So I don't know.
I think I'm not going to be critical about who went. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I didn't go. Obviously, my company is in a different... We've got a different way of doing things, right? We're not talking about my company, anybody's company. But we're in a pickle, guys. You know, we've got the FDA walking at us with a bucket of sand. And a lot of people are saying, is this the year to spend big money and go to shows?
Right.
Five big companies have pulled out of PCA.
Yes.
So everyone's like, you know, we don't know if we're going to go to PCA, but we need to have a... A lot of people feel that they need to be at a trade show to be in business or to be successful or to do things right. Now, I don't want this to be a discussion about what makes for a successful cigar company. I really want to focus more on premium cigars because, you know, we're all about protecting the legacy and what we're all about, premium traditional cigars. So let's look at the macro. Let's say the macro effects of a TPE trade show, what it's all about, what it does, what it offers people, what impression it gives the public, what impression it gives the FDA regulators.
I think that's the most important, the impression it gives, because, you know, perception's reality. So when you're a cigar, you're a premium cigar owner, cigar premium industry, and Gabby, I completely respect and understand what you're saying. We weren't there. You can't really speak intelligently to it because you're not there being hypocritical, but it's really hard not to formulate an educated opinion when you know that there's premium cigar companies there. There's Armin named off quite a few. And then you also know that your booth may be next to the most advanced science on earth, fetish piss, fetish urine.
Wait. What did you just say?
I said
fetish piss?
I said it is very... very easy, or I don't want to say easy, but it's not so hard to come to an educated opinion when you know that you're going to an event where premium cigar companies are there.
I got that, yeah.
And they could be next to a booth that is selling...
You said fetish?
Fetish urine.
Piss.
What the hell is fetish urine?
Wait. So, wait a minute. So, what do they do at the fetish piss booth?
Well... First of all, considering the, you know, one of the hosts or one of the guests or had his own booth was Tommy Chong, most of the pictures and most of the stuff I've been seeing has been more heavily into CBD, you know, THC, yeah, you know me, all those things. And then obviously when you have urine, you're looking at urine in order to switch out for urine tests, right? But I think that when you have a topless woman with her back to you in a thong and it's entitled fetish urine, I think that people want to use that urine in other areas. So
that's disgusting.
As you're talking about the wonderful Cafe 1901 brands and you're discussing the legacy of your family in Honduras, the binder, the filler, the factory that you have, the boxes, how you control everything, you know, you make everything under one roof. The guy next to you is talking about how someone can fill their bathtub full of urine and roll around it if that gets them off.
I don't even know.
I'm not saying that's the conversation they're having.
Listen, but time
out.
That's
my stretch.
So, if I recall correctly, the FDA had a booth at this show. The FDA had a presence at this show. They had people with eyes and ears and notepads, I'm sure, and cameras to document what the tobacco industry is all about. And you know what? If you talk to me about piss and urine And the fact that they had a booth where you can go and actually purchase urine. I mean, they should have called that booth the freaking nasty deplorables, you know? What segment of America is going out there and buying piss, you know? What are they?
It's sterilized. I'm sorry. It's sterilized, if that makes you feel any better.
Oh, okay. Well, Not really, okay. So I take everything back. I'm sorry. It's okay then. I love sterilized piss to be fucking poured on. Excuse my language. This is an adult 21 plus show. But that's just one factor. Factor number two, I'd hate to spend money on a booth. And you saw how they divided the carpet. They had red carpet and they had some other color carpet. Red and blue, yeah. I think. I don't know.
Yep.
So on one side, I'm selling a premium cigar. I'm wearing a suit. I'm, you know, like, trying to come across. No, man. Come on, man. What is this shit? What is going on in America? Why can't we just have a cigar show? You know, back when IPCPR existed, when I started my company, right? People are like, oh, you're so hypocritical. Why don't you go to IPCPR? Because you know what? They had people there selling socks. They had people there selling socks that had cigars on them. I'm like, what kind of a – is this a flea market? I'm spending – you want me to spend $50,000 to go to a show where they got people selling glass to smoke marijuana in? Like, that's not me. That's not who I am. That doesn't represent the values of our company or the way we see our product or our cigars. And I'm not driven just by sales. I'm driven about the culture and the respect and the dignity and the tradition that goes along with premium cigars. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm the oddball. You know, no. I live by – go ahead.
No, I don't think you are, because my dad used to tell me – my dad told me something a long time ago. And I try and impart these words of wisdom to my children. And it is, you're judged by the company that you keep. You're judged by the company that you keep. And when you talk about perception, when you talk about the FDA going there and seeing these things, and understanding that probably the main source of this urine, you know, some people believe in it in being a detoxer. Most people will use it to pass drug tests. But at the end of the day, you are still associating yourself. The cigar industry, in my opinion, at this particular event, with CBD, CBD oil, marijuana, THC, and then all of the things that go along with that. So if you figure you have cigars, premium cigars, and the accoutrements and all the things that go along with it, the lighters, the cutters, you know, you just showed me this morning, you showed Armin and I the cigar, the burrow, the plug thing, Gabby.
Yes.
And if you want to give them a free plug, please do, because it unplugs cigars, so you can give it a plug in the cigar podcast. You know,
right.
You're going to find that in these shows, when you're dealing with CBD and THC and marijuana stuff, you're going to probably have all of what they consider to be their accoutrements and all their side things. So you got stuff like this, and I'm thinking to myself when I see it, wow, you know, would I be at a show and I'm walking down the hall and I'm like, oh, Fuente. Oh, you know, you name it all the different names. And then,
yeah,
you know, I cross over an aisle. Oh, look, Stormy Daniels has whatever the hell you were talking about, Armin, that she's got. Fetish, yeah. Urine, Tommy Chong. I personally think that you are judged by the company that you keep.
You know, it's the thing is, though, and Gabby will agree with this, when he and I went to Intertobac in Dortmund, Germany in September, they had a lot of that, but it was a completely different wing, right? It was separated.
Right.
So one wing, you had all of your premium cigars, and then you took a bit of a walk into a completely separate wing.
Well, let me
where
just...
you had those types of booths and stuff.
So the Intertobac trade show, the past 2 years, instead of having one big open convention center, it's separated into halls, mm-hmm. and hall A, B, C, D, E. And you know what? You can pick and choose what hall you want to go to based on your interests. And I'm going to tell you something. That's what I love about Europe, is the Europeans, forget the magnitude of their economies or their scales or the purchasing power of each country when it comes to premium cigars. But there is a certain level of class and elegance and just appreciation for being a cigar connoisseur in Europe. If you look at the European marketplace, they do gravitate heavily towards the more traditional brands, the more legacy brands, the brands that are owned by families or people that they really, they won't smoke something that really doesn't have a story. You know, in America, you can introduce a cigar and put a dildo as a cigar band and you'll sell 1,000 boxes. In Europe, that doesn't happen. You know, the people over there, they read more, they're more educated, they're more knowledgeable, and there's just a certain je ne sais quoi, and a class among cigar connoisseurs. In the U.S., it's like someone made a mention that TPE, as great as a show, that you know, they put together a great show, was the feedback. But you had guys, brand owners that were there, they literally said that going to TPE was like, it was like one big open Walmart.
Right.
Where you just, you just had like, everything was everywhere. And their way of creating halls was putting down a red carpet. And then people can choose where they want to go. But it's kind of hard, like you said, when you got freaking Cheech and Chong hanging out there. And I don't know, man. I think we're losing focus. Right now, it's a critical year for the cigar industry. For 10 years in a row, we've got soldiers that have been working day and night to try to get a premium cigar exemption. 10 years people have been working, you know, from Glenn Loop to Jeff Borshowitz to Carlito Fuente, Alan Rubin. These are guys that I love, I admire, I respect. You know, I try to mimic them. Business-wise, I try to basically understand how they run their business, how they became successful, how they built the reputations that they did. And yet, these guys, you know what? A lot of them are grandfathered, you know? All their brands are grandfathered, but guess what? They're taking a bullet for guys like us, for guys like you, Armin, for guys like you, Carrie. Right. They're taking a bullet for us. They're fighting because we all know and we all believe this core belief that premium cigars are in a league of their own.
Right, but then, so, I'm sorry I'm going to interrupt you there, Gabby, but let's get away, let's just kind of get away from, like, the fetish urine for a second, because, I mean, that's, I think that's,
please.
But no, and the reason why I say that is because that, the Tommy Chongs and stuff, I think when you see that, you're like, wow, okay, but you're on the right topic right now for what I think really is, in my opinion, with this particular event, is the mixing, if you will, or I don't want to say collaboration, but premium cigars with vaping and with e-cigarettes. Now, we've been fighting so hard from this end, in my opinion, to differentiate vaping and e-cigarettes from premium cigars because of the regulatory challenges that we're faced with. And then we go to an event which pretty much lumps us all together and just basically shows the FDA, hey, you should lump us together. Now, I think once you start going in that slippery slope, then that's when you see the Tommy Chongs, and no offense, I think he's funny. He's a great guy, you know, but you see the Tommy Chongs, you start seeing the urines, and you start seeing these other things, because it starts to open up the door, because a lot of these people who do the vape pens and stuff like that, they can get, you know, the THC.
Right. Right,
you know, fluids, and they can get that and smoke it out of them. But the bottom line is, if we're trying to differentiate ourselves, and these events are not making it possible to differentiate ourselves, where does that leave our argument with the FBA, with the FDA?
1,000% right. Here we are trying to differentiate ourselves and be in a league of our own, and this is legally what we're trying to fight for. And like you said there, and what Gabby said, that the fact that the FDA was there, they had a presence, so that's really in their favor. I mean, they can go back and say, yeah, well, this is how it is.
Listen, we're trying to get a premium cigar exemption so that we can preserve everything we've ever worked for and historically protect and maintain the legacy of the premium cigar industry. But there are people, and I'm not one of those people. I may lose money. I may have lost $100,000 right by not going to that show. But I'm not driven by money. I'm driven by this industry, by what it stands for, by the people it represents, by the families, by the 100 people that we have in Honduras. My job is to preserve and protect the premium cigar industry. I'm not just here to make a dollar. Money will be made. This is, you know, we're in a world now where if you're not doing global business, if you're not shipping product all over the world, you got a problem. There's plenty of connoisseurs. Most people don't know this, but there's a premium cigar shortage. In the U.S. alone, there's a 40% premium cigar shortage. And people will say, where do you get your numbers from? Those that know, they know where I get my numbers from.
Right. I agree 100% with you. And, you know, let me ask you this then, because this has kind of been weighing on me, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday. I do think when you are fighting for a premium cigar exemption, and when you really do, and when I was on the Stickman show and was talking to Jeff about this, you know, when you take a look at the premium cigar industry and trying to differentiate ourselves, and you talk to the FDA, you're talking about health concerns, you know, not, you know, and Rocky Patel was on Fox News, did a great job, but he talked more about the legacy, the history, the, you know, the artistry, the artisan, you know, process, and really didn't speak the language of the FDA, which is health concerns, health risks, comparing it to other tobacco products.
Right.
So now in the news, you're seeing a lot of issues and you're seeing a lot of health concerns coming up with the popcorn lungs and issues that are coming up from people with vaping.
Vapes,
and so on and so forth. So we're trying to differentiate ourselves with this premium cigar exemption, but here's a show where it lumps us all together, so it could give the wrong perception. What do you think the reasons are, besides money? I think money's a big driver. Why some of these other bigger companies are there, these bigger cigar companies? Do you just think it's because they've always attended them, and it's a moneymaker? Maybe this year might be the eye-opener that, hey, maybe I won't go next year. I mean, what do you think is driving companies there?
The dilemma is that, if we look at the PCA, the PCA is a trade show organization that represents brick-and-mortar tobacconists, right? I love their philosophy. I actually am planning to go this year. We've been discussing it. I support them, their mission. TPE puts cigar companies in a pickle, right? Because the owner of TPE is also the owner of Cretec, which is the largest premium cigar distributor in the West Coast of the United States. So what happens is, if you want Cretec to carry your shit so that you can sell product in California, you have to go and support TPE.
Got you.
And there are guys that, I look, as much as I want to sell, I'm in a bind because I'm not driven by dollars. Listen, man, I got to tell you something, right? So there are things in life that drive me, and it's always been the things that money can't buy. Like, I'm always at a quest to achieve and to obtain things that money can't buy, because, you know, I've been around people with billions and millions and people with nothing, and the people that I respect the most are the people that possess those qualities that money can't buy. And so I treat business the same way. I'm very focused, driven. I run a very lean and mean business, to take the words from Paul Garmirian, one of my mentors. But at the same time, am I going to sell my soul just to get a dollar? I can't go to a trade show and keep a straight face when there's a banner stand next to my booth where some person is selling urine, fetish urine, or another person is selling hookah, and then I'm sitting there looking at this representative from the FDA walking around and, hey, by the way, we're different. You know, we're not the same. So the fact that they've clumped everything together tells me that the people shopping there are people that have stores that sell everything. So when a 21-year-old kid walks in there looking for some flavored e-cig crap, like, we're not marketing to those people. There's a problem there. In Europe, you don't have this problem. There's a clear separation of who smokes what. I mean, it's like having Winston Churchill at a cigar trade show and across the way is they're selling piss. That don't make sense. It don't make
sense.
And
if we were there, Gabby, if we were there, that would be completely hypocritical of us because, again, not, it's also one of the things that the BCA stands for, right? Here we are trying to preserve the family-owned boutiques, right, and the brick and mortars, and then we go to something like that. Yeah, that pretty much would say a lot about our character.
Do you think there's a solution? Do you think there's a solution, or do you think there's going to be some fallout of this particular event? And I actually read some comments, and somebody said comparing the PCA to the TPE is like describing a masquerade party versus a Halloween party. One is very formal. One is very, you know, still you're dressing up. You're still wearing a costume, but one is very formal and elegant. And the other one is kind of an anything goes. So do you think that there's going to be any shakeout from this particular event that may force the hand to do something like separate premium cigars from the vapes and from the freaking urine and all the other stuff that's going on so it's not lumped together? Or do you think they're just going to keep moving forward as business as usual?
Who knows? That's a really tough one because you don't know what drives each individual. Does everybody think the way we do? Probably not. But I think with everything that happened, what we just spoke about and the feedback that we're getting, I think it's going to be very telling about next year, what the attendance will be at TPE as far as the premium cigars go. But yeah, it would be nice to see the boutiques focus on this year's PCA. I think that would be very important.
So I've got an interesting little thing that I got to share with you guys. This literally is hot off the press. Hawaii legislators just proposed to increase the smoking age to 25. Think about that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, it's the government. We talked about this before. As soon as you let their foot in the door, they're like water. They always find a way. As soon as you say, you know what, okay, 18, 21, and you accept it, yeah, you're right, then it's going to be 25. As soon as you increase the taxes by 2%, then it's going to be easier to increase it to 3, 4, and 5, and 6, right, and so on and so forth. You know, I've seen that happen. I've mentioned it before on my show. Viajante Stogie wrote on Thursday nights on the Care Viajante Facebook page. but
hey, are we getting nice paid plug for that?
We've talked about it before where, you know, I spent many years in the pharmaceutical industry. And as soon as the pharmaceutical industry started negotiating and agreeing to marketing practices to the FDA, and they set up rules and guidelines, it literally was within several years afterwards that they took a trimming down to literally closing out. And it didn't take very long because you start letting them put the foot in the door. You see the CRA do it. That's why the CRA, not the CRA, I'm sorry, the guns,
NRA.
Oh my God. The NRA just holds the line. And they've been criticized everything from, you know, they don't want to ban, you know, extend mags. They don't want to, they call them cop killer bullets. But their position was, look, as soon as we let you in, as soon as we allow you to start regulating, it doesn't stop. So, I mean, to your point, Gabby, you got Hawaii now looking at raising the age to 25 on the heels of the age from 18 to 21.
So let me share with you something that is very offensive to the premium cigar industry and why big government looks at us like we're basically a different form of cancer packaged in a different way, right?
Okay. I want to hear if it's more offensive than urine. I definitely need to hear this.
Well, no, it is. Yeah, it seriously is terrible, right? Because each and every day what we do is we try to distinct the difference between a premium cigar and a cigarette, a premium cigar and e-cigs, a premium cigar and a shit stick that you buy at a gas station like Swisher Crap or that garbage that, you know, what's Philip Morris sells? I think it's called, I don't even know. They come in little pouch packs that you buy behind the, you know, the cast the cashier at the gas station. The Department of Health of the state of Maryland literally just published an article that defines a premium cigar as a tobacco tightly rolled in dried tobacco leaves that is handmade and sells for at least $2 per cigar. These cigars can be more than 7 inches in length and typically contain 5 to 20 grams of tobacco. Some premium cigars contain the tobacco equivalent to an entire pack of cigarettes and can take between 1 to 2 hours to smoke. But do you see, that is it really necessary to define a large premium cigar as a tobacco product that contains the equivalent of an entire pack of cigarettes? So what do you think the FDA thinks when they see that? What do you think any government official, any regulator, they're like, oh my God, what, you're telling me that one cigar has as much tobacco as an entire cigarette? We've got to ban them.
Right. Right.
And this is, and our lawsuit, let me remind you, the lawsuit that the FDA has right now with the premium cigar industry, the one we filed, and these other eight health companies like the American Cancer Society that came back and basically sued the FDA for delaying regulations. This is all taking place in Maryland. So the problem that we have is 10 years ago, this is something that hindsight is 2020, right? I came into the industry 6 years ago. My question is, guys, listen, I being the new kid on the block and all these guys that were making millions and millions of dollars, right, off of the premium cigar industry, I love all these families. I'm not going to point fingers, but they were so busy working and making money and living the dream, the American dream, that nobody ever said, guys, hold on. It's great to make money. It's great to go to all, but we need to properly define what a large premium cigar is. Why is it that it's 2020? We're about 5 months from being regulated out of business, and now we decide to tackle the definition of what a premium cigar is and how a premium cigar is used and the sequela of the effects of a premium cigar. Is it deleterious to a human's health? We don't inhale a premium cigar. I mean, we're still finding ourselves. It's like talking to a 12-year-old kid about the birds and the bees. Like, imagine waiting, like that movie, 40-year-old virgin. The premium cigar industry is that character in the movie 40-year-old virgin, where we've got to explain to the guy how to put on a condom when he's 40 years old.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're gonna pause for an advertisement for one of our groups that we love and support. And when we come back, we're gonna talk more about the definition of what makes a premium cigar, and maybe Gabby will talk to us about how to put on a condom. What do you think?
That's not. No, I'm gonna.
Let me go get a cucumber.
All right, we'll see you.
Fellow premium cigar smokers, please take the time to visit, support, and join Cigar Rights of America. They can be found at www.cigarrights.org. Thank you.
And we are back. We are back with Gabby Caffey of Caffey 1901 Brands and Armin from DAV Cigars. And we were just getting ready to get into a full discussion because it's been brought up very early on what is the definition of a premium cigar. If you remember, Gabby, we were talking about this well over a year ago when I think the questions were, what are the health risks of a premium of cigars? How does it compare to other tobacco products? And what defines a premium cigar? Those were three of the questions I think that the FDA was looking for and looking for feedback on. So you just went over basically a definition of a premium cigar that just looks at obviously the size, weight, and content, which is tobacco to tobacco, and they're comparing it to cigarettes. And I think that's what their goal is, to keep comparing it to cigarettes. So what say you, Gabby? You were in midstream of thought and compared it to the 40-year-old
version.
Here's
what I say, right? Look, so when the health department of the state of Maryland, and you can look this up on health.maryland.gov, where they define a premium cigar, and it states clearly – that some premium cigars contain the tobacco equivalent of an entire pack of cigarettes, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happens is we need to sit down and educate what is the difference between the tobacco found in a cigarette versus the tobacco found in a cigar, because they are night and day. The cigarette, the tobacco, and this has already been discussed by experts, there are over 1,000 different chemicals found in the tobacco in cigarettes. I mean, cigarette companies are purposely buying ammonia to spray ammonia on the tobacco that they put in cigarettes, because with ammonia present, nicotine is more readily absorbed in the lung mucosa in the human body. What do we do in the cigar industry? We sit there and we ferment and we age tobacco for 2, 3, 4, 5 years to get all the ammonia out of it. What happens when ammonia is not present is the nicotine goes from being a volatile ion to being a salt, and the nicotine salt molecule is not absorbed into the mucosa. So here's the health care department of the state of Maryland basically telling people, when you smoke a cigar, you're getting the same dose of tobacco equivalent in a pack of cigarettes. I mean, they're basically saying, if you smoke 2 cigars a day, it's like you're smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day.
Right. Let me ask you this. And in this definition, right, and what we know about cigarettes, it's the tobacco that is harvested for cigarettes. It's harvested very young, correct? Chopped up and processed quickly, right? So yeah, right. In this definition, the one thing that cracks me up is it says, what is a cigar? A cigar is a roll of fermented tobacco, right? And what happens during fermentation? You just went through it, correct?
Right.
So when you get into the large premium cigar, it doesn't specify that although it has maybe the same tobacco content as a pack of cigarettes, but that pack of cigarettes is unfermented tobacco, and then all the other bells and whistles and chemicals that go along with it.
That is because the lobbyists for Philip Morris and the lobbyists for Altria Group have spent millions of dollars to manipulate the language in their favor.
Right. Exactly. It's if you're going to point out that it's fermented tobacco, you got to give some context to what that means. If you're going to compare it to cigarettes, and you got to, or the tobacco content in a pack of cigarettes, and you have to give the context to what type of tobacco that is. It becomes waxes and wanes very quickly between being specific but not explanatory to being non-specific. And you know what really irritates me the most is that you say we're 5 months away, right? 5 months away, we've been talking about this for over a year, and we're still discussing what is a premium cigar. We're still discussing the fermentation process and its comparison to a cigarette. You know, that, in my opinion, is something that should have been hammered and harped on consistently from the word go. It's not the battle of free speech or the Second Amendment and covering up boxes and stuff like that. Go ahead, Armin. I'm sorry.
So that's okay. No, this is all important, and these are things that we should definitely be talking about. So at the break, the listeners had a chance to listen to the commercial that we have for the Cigar Rights of America, right? And we were talking about premium cigar exemption. We're talking about passing the bill and all these things. And the CRA is a platform to do that. So I was on there just looking at some stuff, reading some articles, and it just hit me that regarding the bill, there are so few supporters on there. And the number just astounded me, because I figured, well, between every boutique company that's out there, between all the brick and mortars that are out there, I anticipated the number to be far, far, far greater than what it was. So, look, it's down to the wire. It really doesn't take a lot of time or effort. It's so simple to get on there and just show your support for the bill. This is the only way things are going to change. Look, we have a podcast. We can voice our opinion. That's fine. But in the end, that's not going to change anything. It's all going to change with proper legislation. And for that to happen, our voices need to be heard, and this is the way to do it. So I don't know what we could say or do to really urge our listeners to get on there and show support for it's the HR Bill 1854 that I'm referring to. Again, it'll take only a couple of seconds to do that because we are down to the wire. May is around the corner. It's less than 5 months, and something has to change. I don't know what needs to be said or done to motivate people to just, you know, allot 5 minutes of their time to do this.
Well, you know, what's funny is I'm looking at this Mayo Clinic definition kind of on the heels of what you're talking about, Gabby. This is what gets me, is that they're comparing cigar smoking to cigarette smoking. And they're saying that there is no difference. It's not safer. And they focus on nicotine, right?
Yeah.
And they focus on the addiction of nicotine. They talk about the potential, you know, inhaling cigar smoke is secondhand. And even though you secondhand smoke, you're still inhaling nicotine. And this is the dependency. Now, yes and no, because what is really the health risk when smoking cigarettes is the inhalation of hot smoke.
Right.
So they're trying to discuss nicotine being the bad guy, which obviously is not exactly a good player. But then they go into secondhand smoke and they use examples of like children with asthma and secondhand smoke and how can it exacerbate their asthma. But you know what? It also boils down to a lifestyle. You know, we get together at cigar lounges and smoke cigars. We'll go outside in a back porch and smoke a cigar. We'll go in, like Gabby, in his office and smoke a cigar. You know, people will drive down the street with their kids in the back seat smoking cigarettes. You don't see that with cigars. So it's not only an inaccurate representation of the health risks that are associated with smoking, what really does cause emphysema and cancer and lung diseases through smoking cigarettes and the inhalation of those smokes and those extra toxins that we discussed earlier.
Right.
But it also negates the lifestyle that goes along with those two types of smoking, you know, devices, if you will, or nicotine delivery systems. And so, one is more of a lifestyle, and the other one, you know, my mother used to breastfeed us while smoking. You know,
So you know, you bring up a great point, and I want to say this clearly: nicotine doesn't kill people.
Right, exactly.
Nicotine doesn't kill people. What kills people is when you smoke cigarettes and you're inhaling formaldehyde and you're inhaling a bunch of other chemicals that are literally purposely put in there to create the addiction, to make the nicotine molecule. They want to addict you so that you don't quit smoking cigarettes.
And the hot smoke. Meanwhile,
it's the hot smoke that you take into your lungs. Then you have carbon buildup. Whenever they show the pathology, the anatomy, a dissection of the lungs of a 30-year-old cigarette smoker, what do you see? You see black lung disease, basically. It's from all the carbon buildup. Cigar smokers do not inhale. The nicotine in cigars is literally an inert salt. It does not cause addiction. So I wrote a piece over 2 years ago. I wrote a paper that I sent to the FDA titled, "Premium Cigars Are a Poor Delivery Method for Nicotine." They are. It's a very poor delivery method. Our businesses, have you ever noticed, does Marlboro ever do a cigarette event? Does Winston ever do? Do you ever see Philip Morris doing cigarette events? They don't have to because everybody's addicted.
Not anymore. They used to have the Winston Cup since the lawsuit many, many years ago, and basically the demonizing of the cigarette industry, you really don't see them as big advertisers anymore. It's no longer the Winston Cup. It was the Winston Cup for years, and all of a sudden, boom, no more. But so you'll let see me a shit ton of freaking alcohol freaking advertisements.
If you're a cigarette company and you're not allowed to do events anymore, what are you going to do? You're going to make sure that your products are extremely addictive. That way you can continue to sell the hell out of them without even having to market them.
Right. And that's the idea behind it. And like you said, it's you said this before, cigarettes, you know, if used as prescribed, will kill you, right? Dr. Scott Gottlieb said that. Yes. So when you inhale, I mean, let's take another area. When you see there's a fire and people died in a fire, very, very few people die in a fire and they say that they were burned to death. They died of smoke inhalation, which means that they were inhaling smoke. Same thing as cigarettes. And if you expose yourself that to inhaling smoke into your lungs, and then your lungs basically take unoxygenated blood and oxygenates it, and it's pumped out through your system, it's taking along all those chemicals, and the smoke is also damaging the lung tissue as well.
You've just literally defined and stated exactly why there is a war going on with PCA, with the premium cigar industry. When you have Altadis, Swisher, Imperial Brands, Davidoff, and AJ Fernandez pull out. Now, AJ Fernandez, because they manufacture a lot of cigars for Altadis and General Cigar Company, they kind of got pulled into the mix, right? Even though they're a premium cigar manufacturer, imagine if 50 to 80% of your revenue comes from those giants. Whatever, if they take a dump, you take a dump. If they sneeze, you sneeze. Whatever they do, you do, because that's where your money's coming from, right? But you take those five big companies, and then for Cretec to pull out, and then you had Famous Smoke pull out. Now, the problem is here, the PCA came out and took a stand. And the PCA said, we're here to protect family-owned brick-and-mortar retailers, tobacconists. We're here to protect the legacy of the industry. We're here to protect family-owned premium cigar manufacturers. And what they've done is, about a year ago, Scott Pierce literally had the courage and the balls to stand up and say, you know what? We're okay with Tobacco 21 because we don't market to young people. Premium cigars, the average age of a premium cigar smoker, the first time they pick up a cigar is 27 years of age. The average cigar connoisseur in the U.S. smokes one cigar a month. So Scott Pierce had the courage, the balls, the leadership to actually step up to the plate and say, guys, we need to protect and preserve premium cigars for the premium cigar industry, brick and mortar, family-owned cigar shops. There's over 2,400 cigar lounges in the U.S. where premium cigars are sold. That's what the PCA is all about. CRA, what do? They get on the loudspeaker, and they're resonating the same exact message. If you look at who the supporters are to CRA, it is exactly all those family-owned cigar companies, from Fuente to Padron to Alan Rubin to all the, you know, this is where the conflict lies, right? When you look at the lawsuit that was filed against the FDA, where $4.5 million have been spent by these groups, are you aware that the big five companies that pulled out didn't spend one single dollar financing that lawsuit? You know why? Because they want the regulations to stay in place. They want to put us all out of business. They want to create a monopoly. So right now there's a war in the cigar industry, and everybody's saying, oh, who's going to PCA? Who's going to TPE? Who's doing what? Listen, I don't know, but myself, I can't go to a show when there's a huge, massive war going on. We're against the wall. We got to come out swinging, and it's now or never. It's now or never that we got to take a stand and say, premium cigars are a totally different product, period.
Right.
And the fact that I think they did PCA a favor, honestly.
Right. Well, I'm going to ask Armin a question real quick. So, Armin, I know that you attended the PCA last year. And Gabby and I have had this conversation before. So why don't you talk a little bit about your experience, what the benefits were. And then I also want to talk about, when we talk about TPE or PCA, The difference between wanting to go, because as Gabby just said, you support what they believe in, you support what they do, and needing to go because you're kind of connected to it, as Gabby said, you have distributors that are distributing your products out west, so you just can't say no. So, Armin, the floor is yours.
Okay. Well, you have the pros and the cons, right? So, Val and I did go the past couple of years. And for one thing, as an overall experience, if you're in the business, I think it's a great opportunity to go and meet other people in the industry, see what they do. You make some fantastic connections, as we have with brick and mortar distributors, so on and so forth. And yeah, you do want to show support. And I have to say, they do have some great speakers. They do have some great lectures, especially our first year when we were there. We were kind of green to the whole thing. And, you know, when it came down to what's happening with the FDA and things like that, it's also very informative. We also spoke about how we want to separate ourselves from, say, the CBD oils and vapes and things like that. So for all those purposes, the PCA is very well organized. Now, of course, it comes down to finance as well. It's, you know, it's not a cheap thing to have a booth and to go out there and everything. But now things are changing, and this is what I wanted to talk about. What the PCA is doing and how they're supporting us, and how some of these big guys have pulled out. In my opinion, I think 2020 is definitely the year for people like us, you know, whether Kerry, it's you, it's Cafe 1901, it's DAV Cigars. I think it's a good time, an opportune time for the boutiques to shine. And I think we should be there. The BCA should have a presence. I'm actually really looking forward to it for these reasons, because I think after this year, I think that there's going to be a big impact. Now, hopefully until then, our beloved president will make some changes. But as far as the PCA goes, you know, it's tough because a lot of the big companies, you know, you see them the first couple of days. They have, you know, they're booked from morning till night, their appointments and everything. And you're, you know, if you're a brand new little boutique, you have your little booth, you're kind of twiddling your thumbs because a lot of these guys have their appointments set up with these big companies. And then sort of like the last day and a half, they kind of make their way over to the smaller boutiques and everything. But so for that, with a lot of these big guys out of the way, I think this year really could be pivotal. So I'm going to say, yeah, it's definitely a good time to be present.
And do you think that, with all these bigger companies pulling out, if I'm understanding you correctly, it seems like this could be a really good opportunity for the boutique brands and even mid-sized companies to come in and have a stronger presence at the PCA. And I guess the question is, if that's the case, what is the attendance going to be like, and how can we continue to drive that presence and the attendance at these events? You know, do they really feel like they need to go there in order to get the great deals with some of the bigger companies? And since they're not there, why go?
Yeah, no, that is a good point. But, well, you know what? Then the burden falls on us, really, because, look, Kerry, I'll take your cigar. I'll take any one of Gabby's cigars, my cigars. You know, I'll put them up against some of the big names that are out there as far as quality goes and everything else. You know, there are fantastic boutiques out there. So I think it's just a way for it to be an eye-opener for a lot of people who, yeah, they automatically gravitate to these bigger companies. But look, they've been around longer. They have a huge budget. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, we don't have that yet. So we need to be out there and we need to be present as much as humanly possible. Because as I said, quality-wise, you put the cigars together, I think we have amazing, amazing product. So that's really my opinion.
I want to make a statement, and it's a question as well, right?
Yeah.
trade shows, return on investment.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first. You analyze return on investment. Number two is, we did a study with our customers, right? Or all of our brick and mortar supporters in the U.S. Now we do business with 700 plus retailers in the U.S. And one of the things that we did, we sent an email blast to find out what percentage of them are going to PCA, right? And last year, 2019, was a year I actually wanted to go and attend. And yeah. What we discovered was less than 5% of our 700 plus retailers go to the trade show. A, they can't afford to spend a week out in Vegas spending $10,000, $20,000. B, they can't take the time off because most of them are owner operators. So I know the rule number one in business is know your customer. I cater to customers that understand my business and I understand their business and we know how to help each other, right? Now, the question comes up as to, okay, great. So if less than 5% of your customers go to PCA, then holy crap, everybody you're going to meet there is going to be a new potential client. But my business model is such that we always have inventory. We're one of the few companies that always have inventory of every single SKU that we carry. And our retailers continue to support us because guess what? We never tell them. We're sold out.
We're sold out, yeah.
So what happens when I go to a trade show? This is my dilemma, and it's a question to you also. What happens when I go to a trade show and I sell, let's say, $100,000 because we had a successful trade show? And I know we'll sell 100 grand because I'm just that type of person. Everything I do is focused on having success. And then I come back to the office, and all my inventory is sold out, and now I've got back orders. So am I going to spit in the faces of the people that took me to the dance? So there's a dilemma, right? And the dilemma is, as we grow, we will attend the show. But return on investment, Armin, you were there. You talked about camaraderie. You talked about exposure. You talked about everything. Let's say you cough up $50,000.
Yeah.
How many ways can a small cigar company spend $50,000 to generate more business? Are there better ways for you to generate more business than attending the PCA?
Well, I mean, that's something, of course, we can talk about or debate. Of course, there are a million ways. Of course, you could put $50,000 to use. So, and then you also brought up a very good point that what happens if somebody wants to put in an order and you're sold out? You said it yourself. You always have inventory. So, I mean, I guess that comes down to the individual company, right? You sort of have a business plan of where you want to be. So, it's tough to speak in general terms with something like that, right?
But the reason I bring that up, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, is I want you to understand the mindset of a Scott Pierce. The mindset of the PCA is that they're a organization that represents the tobacconist, the brick and mortar tobacconist, right?
Yeah.
Now, what they need to do is they need to vocalize their new mission moving forward, because the 95% of my retailers that don't go to the show need to go to the show.
Right.
And companies like ours need to make it so that we influence them to go to the show.
Right.
So, yes, I may have all these products and I may have 45 different SKUs that I keep inventory on. But look at what Carlita Fuente did. Carlita Fuente came out and said he's going to introduce rare vintage cigars that are unattainable anywhere else other than PCA.
Driving people there.
So what we need to do is the focus moving forward, apart from making the distinction of premium cigars as being different, is I think we all have a personal responsibility to carry the message of the PCA by doing things like Carlita Fuente has done. We should all launch a new cigar that will only be available at PCA, period.
Right.
And it will only be sold at PCA. And it won't be available before PCA, and it won't be available after.
Right.
The only people that can get it are people that go to the show. So now all of a sudden, my 95%. So what's happened here is, yes, I've looked at the dynamics of the business. I look at my finances. But if we don't involve, like I'm failing the PCA. I'm failing my brick and mortar accounts that aren't going to the show. we should this should be a cumulative effort where we have dialogue. We should reach out to the PCA as you have done, Armin. Armin's taken a monumental step. I want you to go ahead and disclose and tell everybody what it is that you're doing right now with the PCA, what it is that you're trying to do to make things proceed and move forward.
Well,
the BCA and the PCA.
Yes. Well, as I said, Val and I have been present the past couple of years, and they do have a great staff, and they've really walked us through everything, and we have a very nice tie. So with everything that we spoke about, so let's kind of bring it all together. With everything happening with the FDA, with the big companies pulling out, and I mentioned it's a great opportunity for the boutiques to really step up. You know, we've always said there is strength in numbers. So the idea, what we're working on really is a collaboration between the BCA and the PCA to have a very strong presence at the show this year, where we would have a booth representing a number of boutique cigars. So it's never been done before, and I think that would be a great platform, and it would really launch us. In fact, yes, and one thing we also spoke about was a pavilion. So we're in the talks now. This upcoming week, they're having a mid-year meeting, and that's what's going to be discussed. So to all our listeners, especially the boutiques, stay tuned, because we will be making certain announcements about that very, very soon.
How beautiful would it be to have... Look, I'll say it right. I'm not rich. I can't afford $50,000, but I can afford to take a pavilion and divide it among 10 companies, where each one of us is spending $5,000 to $7,000. And that's exactly what took place at TPE. One of the positive things about TPE that I saw was the booths were so realistic.
Right.
They were feasible. I mean, like, they were not intimidating. I'm a small company. You got to remember, all these new boutique cigar companies, we're out there fighting against monsters that literally go to the PCA and set up an extravaganza. It looked like a circus show.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, you want traffic, right? You want people to come to your booth, right? That at the end of the day, that's what you want to do, is attract people. And I think this is going to be a great thing. We're going to work out all the details, and then I'm sure we'll make various announcements via our podcast, on the website. So, yeah, this is a good thing, and it's going to happen very soon.
How much of this decision, just real quick before we, as we're wrapping this up.
Right.
I know we talked about the big players pulling out of PCA, right?
Yeah.
And listen, nobody asked them to sink several million dollars into a two-story cigar shop in these arenas, and mm-hmm. you know, it pretty much turns into a dick measuring contest. But how much do you think is driven due to the finances or the lack of return on their investment at these shows versus the fact that you know, the PCA has been supporting the premium cigar industry and has been vocally pushing for an exemption, which then obviously I think, you know, they talk about the number of boutique cigar companies that would fall to the wayside, which would leave more shelf space for these big guys. How much are these decisions being made that are more financially driven versus more just sour grapes?
Wow.
And I asked that because I'm looking at the stock, their stock market, the stock from 18 for the Scandinavian Tobacco Company. I mean, they've taken a little bit of a hit, you know,
right.
Over the course of the last year or two. And you know, when you're a company and you start experiencing great losses, you got to start looking at where you're going to trim the fat and where you're going to be able to save money in order to sure. increase your profitability. So do they view these shows as just not a good return on investment? And they could go ahead and get people to buy into contacting them for their deals that they would normally get at the shows? Or is it more driven towards, hey, we had this FDA regulation coming in that was really going to give us a real big boost, and we kind of feel like you should be supporting us who've been coming here for as long as we have been, versus maybe looking at the support of a premium cigar exemption, which would help more of the boutique companies?
If it's multiple choice, maybe I would say D, all of the above.
Mm-hmm. Gary?
Right?
I totally agree. I think, the thought that comes to mind is May 12th of 2020, when we have to start filing substantial equivalence applications and spending tens of thousands of dollars. You know, the success of the PCA right now is dependent on something happening to protect premium cigars, because it is going to be a, like Las Vegas is, an empty desert. The PCA is going to be dead this year if nothing is done that protects premium cigars. I mean, the clock is ticking. So that's what's on my mind. And when I have my hand on my wallet, you know, the big guys can do what they do. They're fine. They got the finance. They're multi-billion dollar companies, right? Davidoff, I think their revenue last year was $1.4 billion. I mean, worst case scenario is they just readjust. Look at what Imperial Brands did this year. After they announced they weren't going to PCA, they also announced a couple days later that they have created a online platform so that all retailers in the U.S. can basically go on the website and place an order. Basically, they're starting to eliminate sales reps. You know what happens with companies when the economy changes, when regulations change, is the first ones to get cut back are the sales force or the staff that built the company, right?
Mm-hmm.
So right now, May 12th is around the corner. This is an election year. Florida, and we talked about this before, I don't want to be redundant. How many votes come from cigar families, brick and mortar companies, cigar manufacturers, connoisseurs? This is the year where something's got to happen. You know, we talk about Trump 2020 and, you know, Bloomberg. Jeff Borshowitz said it. I mean, it's a critical election year for the premium cigar industry.
Yeah.
And as much as I want to go to PCA, and as much as Armin has really sacrificed his time and efforts to create a pavilion so that companies like mine can be there. I mean, Armin's sacrificing. Imagine, here's a company like Dove Cigars that had their own booth the past 2 years, and now they're willing to sacrifice and share the limelight with other companies, 7, 8, 9, 10 other companies. But what's the goal? Armin's not driven by finances. He's driven by this collective force of, we're premium cigars. We have to protect each other. We have to exempt each other. We have to really show support to PCA. But PCA, CRA, right now, man, they are working their asses off to make something happen before this show. When's the show? In June, July?
Yeah, July, early July.
Yeah. So I can give my opinions like you guys were talking, but my mind is really looking at the big picture, and the big picture is something needs to happen the next 4, 5, 6 months.
Yeah.
If something does happen and a premium cigar definition is implanted, inscribed in with federal legislators to where now we're put into our own category, I'll tell you something, the PCA is going to be the biggest, booming, most baddest ass show on the planet. And
bingo.
When you
agreed.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yep. No, agreed.
100%. Everyone's like, well, Scott Pierce needs to turn this around. Guess what he's doing? Sometimes when you're turning things around, you don't see everything that they're doing, all the people they're talking to, the influence they're trying. This movie that they created, Pete Johnson with his crew. What's the name of the movie, guys?
Hand Rolled.
Hand Rolled.
Right.
Hand Rolled. The timing couldn't be better. The Hand Rolled is, I mean, you've got Nicholas Melillo sitting there bashing Swisher and their products, not directly, but indirectly. You know how you got kids going to gas station to buy freaking blunts so that they could pull out the shitty tobacco that's in there, put weed, and smoke pot. I mean.
Yeah. I know we didn't get to it, but you brought something up, which I think is going to be for an interesting conversation next week. And we talk about politics involved in this thing, right? Because we do talk politics and other things. But Bernie Sanders is pissed again. And he's pissed because the DNC changed their debate rules and allowed Bloomberg to buy his way on the stage.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talked about this on a Stickman show with Jeff Borschwitz was talking about Bloomberg. And you know, I think we're starting to see now with the failed attempt with the Russian collaboration, now this failed impeachment, and realizing that there really isn't, I think, a candidate out there that's going to contest Trump, especially with this economy that we have, if you want to look at things objectively. And they kind of feel that maybe Bloomberg may be the only guy who can battle against him. Now they're starting to change their own rules in order to give him a voice on a stage after entering so late. And as you know, with these debates, they're always based off of, you know, where you are with the ranks and the ratings, you know, what percentage are you trending at? And if you're not above a certain percentage, you don't make the stage. It's going to show you right now that they're even starting to eat their own and turn on their own in order to win an election. So, it's amazing. It's amazing.
It's going to be an interesting year. Look, here's the thing, right? Optimism. No matter what happens, right, from day to day, Warren Buffett says, be fearful when others are greedy. Be greedy when others are fearful. Now, of course, we're talking business and finance and how to acquire different companies and stocks and investments. But when the FDA regulations passed in August of 2016, at the same time, instead of cocooning and jumping ship, I went and I built and I started a brand new cigar factory in Honduras. I'm in this 100%. You guys are in this 100%. This podcast represents exactly that. We're not giving up the fight. We do and we will achieve, I believe, some type of protection. What type? I don't know. None of us, I believe, are going to go out of business. Is the horizon going to look different the next year? I believe so. Are we a little bit more reserved and more cautious with how we spend our money? Absolutely. And that's why it's important right now that the PCA step up to the plate and CRA and be a little more transparent with everybody and let us know the state of affairs currently.
Exactly.
And I think they've done a great job to date. I'm not criticizing them. I'm not in a position to criticize anybody when I don't go to their show and support them. But again, my hand's on my wallet, and the next few months are critical.
I agree. Armin,
yep.
You want to leave the audience with anything?
No, just what I said earlier, please. Again, it's very imperative. Well, obviously, please continue to support us and keep tuning in. But for those out there today, tomorrow, take a few minutes, go onto the CRA website, show your support for the bill, and stay tuned for what we're going to have in store with the PCA this year.
And that's a great point. Get on, support the bill. How many people were supporting the bill so far, Armin, when you checked it out?
It was a little over 12,000 last time I checked.
So we got to get
12,740.
Yeah, we got to get a link and start posting that and get more people involved with that because that's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to have a few of our own ideas that we'll announce sometime soon as far as what people can do when they come onto the BCA website. I'm sure we can have something on there that'll link over. So
Agreed. Gabby, what was the tool you were using earlier to unplug your cigar?
Oh, wow. That tool was called the Perfect Draw. It was actually designed by a dentist who loves premium cigars, and he created a tool that actually allows you to improve the draw of your cigar. You can find them at www.perfectdraw.com.
Nice.
Very
excellent
good.
Excellent tool.
Well, this is Kerr Vihante from Stogie Road Cigars, along with Dr. Gabby Caffey of Caffey 1901 Brands, and the lovely Armin from DAV Cigars, wishing you all a great day, great night, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for taking the time to join us this past hour. Our show is dedicated to preserving the boutique cigar industry. Federal regulations have put our entire industry in danger. With your support and sharing our message, we hope to educate and create more awareness about the craft and the art of making traditional premium cigars.